Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Ben from Spectrum, and I'll be here tonight on Inside MLB. And tonight we'll be discussing pretty much one topic, and that's MLB's 27 Under Revolution. And remember, you choose me, part of the show, if you call at 516-666-9990, or enter them at www.blogtalkradio.com/InsideMLB. And let's get started right away. And Inside MLB starting on Generation Next's Wave of Young Talent Special. So I guess it's time to get started with our number one, and that is Generation Next, Generation Next now stepping into the box. Bryce Harper looked around the National League clubhouse last week, so only not as young as he once was. Okay, so the kid is still just 22, but at his third All-Star game, the age gap between him and his teammates wasn't so vast, and it was more their fault than his. A total of 20 All-Stars were aged 25 or younger this summer. And as ESPN.com's Jason Stark points out, in 85 previous All-Star games, that has never happened. As in, never, ever. Just 1 year ago at the All-Star game in Minnesota, everyone was dabbing at their eyes with tissue paper, wishing Derek Jeter a fond farewell and wondering whoever in the world might replace the captain as the face of baseball. Let's see. There was Mike Trout and Harper and maybe Andrew McCutcheon. Now, before you spit out the word precaution, we've got breakout rookie stars from the Dodgers is Josh Pearson, the Cubs is Chris Bryant, the Astros is Carlos Correa, there's the Orioles is Manny Machado, the Giants is Madison Bumgarner, the Astros is Jose Altuve, the Royals is Salvador Perez, the Pirates is Garrett Cole. It's exciting for baseball, exciting for the game, Harper fans, surrounded by more young talent than an attendee at the MTV Awards show. It's a lot of fun to be a part of that group. Funny thing about nerds, like last year's Jeter, they get the oxygen sucked out of them quickly. Them, everybody moves on to what's next. As late, great Sparky Anderson used to point out, papers died and baseball kept getting bigger and bigger anyway, meaning always the sport is bigger than any one superstar. As ever, we will miss Anderson at this weekend's Hall of Fame induction ceremony in Cooperstown, New York, but we will remember him and his words of wisdom. So, as the days drain away toward Jeter's eventual enshrinement in 2020, the spotlight wasted no time in front of the next great thing, even Trout at 23, with two All-Star Game MVPs, already on his resume, suddenly seems a little long in the tooth. Comfortably, Trout is a baby still to his Angels teammate, Albert Pujols. Just to see so many young guys here, that's what the game is doing us right now. There's so much young talent and ability. It's special. Every year, it's getting younger. We're Generation Next with concern. Brian has become the booster of the kids snapping at the heels of Harper and Trout, the Trout Plenty of Company, starting with Correa, who is the heavy favorite to win the American League Rookie of the Year award, despite the fact that he didn't even debut until June 8th. It's pretty cool to come up and do our part, Brian said. Said Harper, the game is evolving into a younger sport. Everybody can see that. Everybody knows that. Players performance enhancing drug rules and amphetamine. Players age as they have for years, naturally. The friction in which 38 was the new 28 is long gone. Mixed in the age of specialization, where flamethrower relief pitchers pop up in the late innings like minefields, while the ever-growing internationalization of the game, and there's more emphasis than ever on youth. I definitely respect the way the game was played back in the day, Harper says. I always have. But now, you go from college ball, double A, to the big leagues. That's just how it is. And every organization has so much in touch. Like what we have in Washington. He's 20 years old with a 90-mile-per-hour fastball. Kurt, slider, he's a lot of fun to watch. And Harper, pointing the young hitters like Bryant, Rizzo, Trout, and McCutcheon. We're offering hints that maybe this pitching-dominant era is starting to turn. There are so many young guys whose names who are truly impressive, Harper said. But the game wouldn't be where it is now without the guys that came before us. You've got to respect the guys who came before us. Number two, Zach Attack. History on note. For the better part of the past month, stars of the exact magnitude has been saying his stretch of gems during the 2009 Cy Young Award season in Kansas City was better than what he's doing this year. But after Sunday's 8-inning whitewash in the Nationals, extended his total streak to 43 2/3 innings, the longest in the majors since Ari Dickey's 44 2/3 consecutive scoreless innings in 2012 for baseball. Almanac. Forget that nonsense. Nobody in the game is pitching better than Grayson right now, which increases the pressure on the Dodgers to acquire another starting pitcher, because this may be their best chance to win a World Series 88. It almost certainly guarantees Granke will invoke his opt-out cost and will free agent the Switzer, because he's earning gauze of potential cash with each brilliant outing. When Inside MLB asked Granke in Cincinnati about the opt-out, he declined and discussed it. I said in spring training that I was talking about it one time this year, and that was the last I was going to talk about it this year, so I'm not going to comment on it, Granke said. Asked if he privately has already made a decision, Granke said, no response, says co-ace Clayton Kershaw. I think he's comfortable in Los Angeles. I like him here, obviously. He's put himself into a really good spot. Granke acknowledges his time in Los Angeles has been everything he's hoped for. I thought it was going to be great, and it has been great. It's been about as good as you could ask for. What specifically? The clubhouse facility is the best one I've ever been in. It's amazing. We've got the best coaches and trainers that you can get. Man, I think we're number one in attendance ever since I've been there, and we win. It's a pretty darn good combination. If you get rid of the traffic, it would be perfect. Or get closer to the beach. One of the two. The case of social anxiety has been well documented. And then Granke doesn't talk often. When he does, he's one of the most honest and intelligent players in the game. As somebody plays this in the majors, his mind of passage like he turned to Los Angeles, Granke acknowledged that the pool is limited. If you take out the beach bars, there's probably a couple, he said. But only a couple. He also acknowledged that with a record $270 million payroll, this season will be a disappointment if it does not end in a World Series victory. Yeah, probably, Granke said. I don't view it as any pressure, but that's our goal every year, to win the World Series, like most places. But in L.A., it really is. If you don't win the World Series, you would say you didn't do what you wanted teams to do. In Milwaukee, we weren't happy with just making it to that final game to get to the World Series in 2000. And in Kansas City, most times I think if we made it to the playoffs, we would have been happy. Our team wasn't that good. Number three, Granke as armchair GM. And this year's Dodgers called better equipped to win the World Series than last year's team that fell short. I think both teams have their strengths. That having Hyun-Jin Ryu healthy is a big difference. He was such a good pitcher. There were three elite pitchers last year. Brett Anderson has done a terrific job, but Ryu was at a different level, which brings the Dodgers to Cole Hamels, or Johnny Cueto, or some other elite starting pitcher that they clearly need not only to improve their chances to win this year's World Series, but potentially as insurance before Granke opts out. If it makes sense, then I'm sure we will, Granke says, as a possibility of adding an elite pitcher before the July 31st trade deadline. We could bring in anyone we want, but is it going to be worth the cost? They've got to be smart about it, because it's not like this is the last season the Dodgers are ever going to play. They have to think about beyond just who they could bring in just for this year. Big one for Scherzer. Max Scherzer's near miss of a perfect game against Pittsburgh on June 20th got the most attention of his three-start stretch against the Brewers, Pirates, and Phillies in June, in which he was nearly unhittable, playing 33 batters in Milwaukee 1 in 2015. But it's the Milwaukee start on June 14th, a complete game, 4-0 win in which Scherzer has backed up start to finish. That's one of the three to me Scherzer told inside MLB in Cincinnati last week. Milwaukee was the best one. I didn't give up any hard contact at all. Jose Lobaton, now we're on the same page. I executed every pitch. I made some mistakes in the Pittsburgh game. And that Milwaukee game, Scherzer punched out 16 Brewers and walked only one. He allowed just one hit. He obtained 6 groundouts, allowing one Carlos Gomez to stop single right lead off the 7th inning. Or 5. Chris Archer. One person's project is another person's genius. And that's illustrated over and over again as players are drafted and developed in majors. Take the case of Tampa Bay's Chris Archer, who's 9-7 with a sparkling 2.73 ERA and an astounding 153 strikeouts, against only 31 walks and 128 2/3 innings this season. When I watched him pitch against us, I started to knock my eyes out, as well as manager in that year. He, technically speaking, does still have his eyes in their proper place in his fall. And it's like that day. He also has his conversation with Kansas City head coach Gale Swain, or something like this. Man, what was that? That's a slider. That's a slider? Yep, best one in the league. So tremendous, Gale says. Now get this. Archer drafted by the Cleveland Indians in the 5th round in 2006 dropped. And shortly thereafter, a Cleveland minor league pitching coach suggested that he dump the fire if they were hurt. Because the Cleveland coach thought of 17-year-old mine, I'll think, okay, I've listened to everything the coach says because he's a professional coach, Archer says. So for the next few seasons, he didn't throw his lighter. Then before the 2009 season, you dealt with the Cubs in the Mark DeRozan trade, and they didn't exactly know what I was doing. So I started bringing it back, Archer says. Now, it very well might be the most devastating pitch in baseball, but don't be afraid to stand up for yourself, and don't be so close to give up on something if you think it is working well. Number six, yo, ho, ho, the fire is done. If you dig Chase Kim, then do we have an NL Central race for you set up over the final 2.5 months? The Pirates would be leading 4 baseball 6 divisions at the moment. Only Kansas City in the AL Central and a better record than Pittsburgh, of Pittsburgh taking 3-4 against the Cardinals, including 2 epic extra inning wins, could let the Buccos into the season second half. When you get in games like that and you've got to grind out 4.5 hours, you definitely want to come out on top of those kind of games. Pirates All-Star Garrett Cole says, the effort and the type of focus you have to put into that kind of time can really wear you out. Being on the wrong term of a win on those can suck. Then again, nobody's expecting to get lose the full. The Cardinals probably shower off losses just as well as we do, I said. That's how they've won 50-something games to this point. But it's one game at a time. It doesn't matter who you're playing. You've got to take care of business. Number 7, weekly power rankings. Frankie versus Scherzer, number 1. What a day Sunday was. Best Wilson's Todd Frazier versus Jock Peterson, the home run derby. Number 2, Oral Kershiser. The Bulldogs' 59 innings worst inning streak is under siege from Dodgers' ace Zach Greinke. Does this mean Greinke gets a television analyst too? Number 3, trade deadline. Tick, tick, tick. Nicole Hamels is fitted for a new uniform. Number 4, 2%. Induction weekend on deck. Pete Rose still in the hole. Number 5, El Nino. Number 1, Mike Trout, 0. Angels suffer first rainout Sunday since June 16, 1995. National League will team into making El Nino starting pitcher for next summer's All-Star game. Number 8, shortening the schedule. Don't book it yet. Baseball very much is quietly discussing the prospects of returning to a 154-game schedule in the current 162-game schedule, with doubleheaders a relic in the past because the owners do not want to give up kids due to financial pressure. Defining the current schedule will be a topic of discussion during labor negotiations on the next basic agreement. The current one expires in December 2016. It's a huge economic issue. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred said last week, he wrote a meeting with the Baseball Writers Association of America, noting that we sell out in a lot of markets in terms of tape. But there's still working commitments and guarantees and could be affected by short season. So, how will the game make up for lost gate revenues? Well, when you're giving up revenue, you have to figure out something that is offsetting in the other direction. Manfred said, one obvious possibility is that you make a change in terms of playoff format. Manfred said, he likes to one-game wildcard playoff the way it is. Whether the division series would go to the best of 7 instead of the best of 5, it's hard to say. But rest assured that baseball will look at all the options for the next year or so. And looking back from the time I've played to now that I'm watching what these guys are doing, I don't know how they do it. Players with union boss Tony Clark told the BBWAA, when not through me. What these guys are being asked to do with respect to games and start times, with respect to the travel distances themselves, with respect to performing at an elite level 3 days off a month, it's a challenge. Number 9, quirky stat of the week. After taking down the Mariners' lead, Felix Hernandez on Sunday, Yankees PR department tweeted out, Sunday's win, the hashtag Yankees improved to 6-1, and games in which a former Cy Young winner started against them, which is the team via an Elias Sports. 9A, rock and roll lyric of the week. The great Jason Isbell's new record, Something More Than Free, dropped last week to outstanding reviews and tribute. Here's a bit from the big Braves fans with classics. Here we go. Driving to a baseball game on a Friday afternoon, rather than hell in Atlanta, Georgia. I guess it's been 15 years since I came through here. Probably should have called to warn you, but I'm stopping by. Jared and I still stopping by. All right, fans, we have to get a break, but when we come back, we're going to move into a completely different topic, moving away from the revolution of the 25 and under our kids in the big leagues today, like of Doc Peterson, Andrew McCutcheon, Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, and Garrett Cole, and all those guys. But now we're going to talk about how the Halos are going to be unveiling a life-size Mike Trout bobblehead. So pretty cool. All that and more on a 10LB hockey break. Please can tune in. You did not. Personally, DB and a Pirate fan, I love what just happened with Draymond. Finally, he's not going to be prosecuted, which is great. The 10-year fight that everybody in Pittsburgh, I mean, it was a tough time for them, and now it's just great as a MLB. And so we're going to move into how every MLB contender most likely trade deadline deal. So that's where we're going to start. Can you feel the tension? It's palpable with MLB's July 31st non-waiver trade deadline, now just 10 days away. All would-be contenders are on the clock to make improvements for the stretch from October. In modern times, being the way they are, phrase all would-be contenders encompasses more than half the league, hence the tension. Take the time to dig around on MLB trade rumors, and you'll get that there are numerous players on each contender's wish list. And as such, dozens of different dominoes could fall in the coming days. We're going to take our best guess on how they'll fall by trying to pinpoint the one deal each included franchise is most likely to make. We'll tackle each of the 18 realistic contenders in MLB, starting with the worst record of the bunch and fully making our way to the top. Step into the box whenever you're ready. All right, so we're going to start, as I said earlier, off from the bottom to the top, and that's going to start with the Texas Rangers. And again, the Texas Rangers, they're going to be first. And Neil Clark, I think, is probably going to be their biggest trade chip as now, because right now they have a record of 4-3. Yeah. Wait, what? This can't be right. Are the Rangers supposed to be going hard after Cole Hamels? Yeah, they are. But I want to count on that for any other big move, really. Though Kenner's and Saul Fox Sports says the Rangers are still in on Hamels, J.R. Sullivan at MLB.com has a recent report that characterizes the Hamels to Rangers deal as unlikely. And given where the Rangers are now, that's easy to believe. The Rangers are still technically in the AL playoff race, but they're fading fast with 14 losses in their last 3 years. They have the prospects and the cash to pull for a deal for Hamels, but at this point, they might as well save their farmhands and wait to use their cash on the coming offseason uber rich pitching market. Instead, expect the Rangers to go small. Least help is their most obvious need. Texas's 4.46 bullpen ERA is dead last to AL, and General Manager John Daniels made it clear Sullivan that he's aware of it. To this end, the idea that resonates the most is Rosenthal's proposal of a reunion with Brewers left-hander at no cost. It could deepen Texas's pen and make it easier for the team to reserve the stars to control for next season. And when the year's done, it's not hard to imagine the Rangers re-upping with the impending free agents, who notably reestablished his career in Texas 2013 and 2015. Our fans, we should get a break. Well, when we come back, we'll be doing a speed round of what team needs what, and basically overall that we'll get to the final. I'll explain why the best team in baseball needs this player, and then we'll do the conclusion. So please stay tuned, and you can all listen to go on a break. Listen to it. Most. Back on Inside MLB, and now it's time for the next team. As the Cleveland Indians, and I think they need to get Carlos Gomez, plain and simple, to get him the blockbuster deal that they need to get. And now it's time for the Tampa Bay Rays. And quite frankly, I don't think they need, or I mean, their most likely trade deal, which is what we're doing, the MLB contenders' most likely trade deadline. I don't think anything's going to happen for the Rays, personally, but it's not time to move on to the next. For the Toronto Blue Jays, I think the most likely trade deadline move for them is going to be Jonathan Hasselbaum. The next team that we have on our list is the Detroit Tigers. I think the most likely trade deadline move that they'll make is to get Scott Kazmir to open up books. And our next team is the Baltimore Orioles. I think their most likely trade deadline move is going to be to get Mike Leake of the Cincinnati Reds. Our next team is the New York Mets. I think their most likely move and the trade deadline is going to be to get Ben Zobrist of the Oakland Athletics, Willie Bean. He knows what he's doing out there. He'll most likely get some prospects out of the Mets and get some pitching, which is what the Oakland Athletics are always trying to do. And San Francisco Giants, I think their what they most likely their move will be is to acquire Cam Maybin of the Atlanta Braves. And have the Chicago Cubs. I think they're trying to get James Joseph of the Padres. They're turning into dollars as of right now. That's where people are moving forward, trying to have a quick rebuild. And breaking news, then, MLB rumors. Rangers reportedly remain very much involved in talks with Philadelphia over Cole Hamels, as was also in Philadelphia's future. So, as I just said, I think Cole Hamels and the Rangers, but that just proved me wrong. This is Masters. I think their most likely move is going to be to acquire Tyson Law. Minnesota Twins, I think their most likely move is to get Francisco Rodriguez out of that bullpen. They've gone for it already. That 8-9 is going to be deadly if they get to the playoffs. And the New York Yankees are next. I think they most likely move is to get Jeff DeMarcia. They scored a one-year rental, and that's what I think they're going to do. The next team we have after the Yankees, the Washington Nationals. I think they're going to get back Kyle Tucker for the A's, who they relinquish. He's a good fit in Washington. He's always been a good fit there. Getting back, I think it's a great deal for both the Dodgers. And I think they are going to most likely be able to get Johnny Cueto. Because he's a one-year rental player, and they're not going to have to open up the farm system as much as they do. Because that Frankie is going to be gone most likely. Johnny Cueto is going to be gone. Now they have the money to possibly re-sign with them, which is, would be a devastating. But now it's here for them to win. They need Johnny Cueto. Next team is the Los Angeles Angels. And I think they're going to go hard after Gallardo, part of the Brewers. The Brewers are looking like sellers. And I think the Indians are going to get Gomez. So another great option is Gallardo, Paula. And that's for Pirates. I think they're going to bring back Aramis Ramirez. He was with the Pirates earlier in spirit. It's a great move for him, I think. And I'm just excited to see if Aramis Ramirez and the Pirates can get me back in that uniform. And the Kansas City Royals. I think they're most likely be able to get Dan Herring. Although he said if he wasn't reaching the left, he was going to retire. But obviously he didn't. He's in Miami right now, but that also is a beat. So I think he'd like to work as much. And we're going to do the San Luis Cardinals. I think their most likely move is going to be to get Adam Leland because of their hit of my answer now. And the record now is 58-34. The Cardinals have baseball's best club for the region as well. Two reasons if you attempt their famed hashtag devil magic. The other is that there's not a more complete baseball team out there. Cardinals are so complete. In fact, the list of needs was petty by comparison to everyone else's. They use depth in the back end of the rotation and must be hitting first base in the field for their injured items. But that's pretty much it, and that's where Adam comes in. It's time to conclude the show tonight. Thank you for tuning in. So let's finish up where we were talking. And, I mean, things are happening right now. We're 10 days away from the trade deadline. I mean, today we talked about the revolution of the economy. But baseball is a private sport. I don't care if people say it's dying. There's so much money in it. But the youth is starting to call up. Youth baseball is the most popular sport. And then 10 days away, I mean, this is a farm shop for baseball teams and contenders. If you want to make that push move to get your fans excited, make a trade. Fires, Ronald Ramirez, I'm a Bucks fan. Get Ronald Ramirez. I can feel it if they do get him. But right now, as of this morning, I think they're going after Ben Zobrist, paying him to flip on his shoes with cash for years. All right, fans, thank you for tuning in. I'm Ben Zobrist. Please have a fantastic game. Let's go Bucks tonight, and then we're going to let you team in the league.